الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, as we all know, that this is the month of Rabiul Awal, and it is in this month, according to some narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 12th, and according to other narrations, he was born on the 9th. Nevertheless, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth and the advent of his coming to this world happened in this month. And that was the beginning of a new era. It was the beginning of getting hidayah for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that surely جاءكم رسول من الله نور وكتاب مبين, that to you a prophet has come and a book, and with that book the nur, the light which is needed. So my dear respected brothers and elders, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to this world was a great blessing for us, for mankind, as we are weak and we at all times need to be shown how to do things correctly. In this world, whatever we learn, whatever field we want to become expert in, then only learning the theory is not enough. One has to do the practical side of it. Learn the practical side of it. And it is normally learned through being in association with those who have perfected that art. If you take an example of a doctor after doing MBBS or after doing his education in medical science or in the medical field, he does not become a qualified doctor until he spends time in the hospital or with the professionals for a certain amount of time, so that whatever he has learned in theory and whatever he has learned in books, he can see it being done practically in being in association with doctors and those who are professional in that field. You take another example of a pharmacist. He does a course, he does his degree, M-Pharm, whatever you call it. After that, he cannot work on by himself until he does a 1 year where he goes and works under the supervision of another pharmacist. Same way, nurses, anything. Just learning the practical is not enough. One has to see how it is implemented. Because one is having the text, but how to implement that text, people can have different views or different understanding of that text. And if it's not done properly, then it can be harmful to people. So that is why one has to stay in the company of those who have perfected, who have become professional in that field, and understand it the practical way, how the text has been implemented. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the Quran, sent out the kitabs, but with it He has sent us an example how the Quran needs to be implemented, how the Quran is to be brought into our lives, how every single action is confirming to the Sharia and to the laws of Islam, how each and every action of ours is confirming to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down and he showed it through his actions. Either he did it himself or it was done and wives had disseminated that knowledge. Certain things we learn through the wives of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't learn it directly from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn it through them. But everything was taught. Everything was taught that was needed to be taught. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that al-yawma akmaltu lakum, today I have completed your deen, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and fulfilled the blessings, my blessing upon you. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, and the path that I have chosen for you is the path of Islam. So whatever was needed, whatever need to be taught, Prophet ﷺ has taught us. And whatever was need to be told to us, Prophet ﷺ told us. Anything apart from that, which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, or the Sahaba did not do, then that cannot be part of deen. It cannot be an independent part of deen. It can be an association with other things. It can be the means of acquiring the deen. But that itself cannot be an integral part of deen. Example, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know there wasn't madaris, there wasn't schools, Islamic schools at that time in a building and a structure form. But today, Islamic schools are being built, madaris where the dissemination of Islamic knowledge is happening. And we all know it's a good thing. But the actual building of the madaris is done so that the knowledge of Islam and deen can be taught. So it is done so that it becomes a means of acquiring deen. But if the building was made not for that purpose, for any other purpose, but not for a deeni, a religious purpose, the one cannot say that construction such building is an integral part of deen. It was never been. Yes, building masajids was an integral part of deen, because from that time Prophet ﷺ did it. So whatever had happened until that point, all that is part of deen. Anything afterwards does not become an integral part of deen, but it can be a means of acquiring deen. For example, watches, mobiles, all these things, computer, they weren't created at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever advise or to do things, to create things for the sake of deen. But if it's done so that the means of deen can be acquired, then that will also become an act of virtue. But itself, just making mobiles, for example, for the sake of it, is not a dini, a religious action. But if it's done with the right sentiment, with the right intention, then that can become a means of deen, means of earning reward. Like wearing a watch. If it's done with the right intention, then wearing that watch can become an act of virtue. But just merely wearing the watch is not an act of deen. So my dear respected brothers and elders, everything that needed to be told to us has been told and has been said. So anything extra which is not being taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by his companions, then that cannot be part of deen. That is the rule. Yes, if it's done with the intention for religious purpose, then that may become an act of virtue. But that itself cannot be an act of virtue if it's not been done at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by his companions. So that is the yardstick of finding out if that is a religious act or if that's a irreligious act. You only need that yardstick to find out what is happening in the world and what people are claiming to be a virtuous act. And to find out if it's really a virtuous act, you need that yardstick. Did the Sahabas, did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do it? If they have done it, then that is part of deen. If they have not done it, then that is not part of deen. Then you need to find out why they are doing it. If they are doing it for something, for the preservation of deen, for something else, to disseminate the knowledge of deen, then that could become a part of deen. But if that intention is not there, then that is not deen. So that is the yardstick. So anything, we should always check with this ruler to find out if that is correct or not correct. And that's why it's important that we seek the knowledge of deen, that we go out and learn the knowledge of deen, so that we know what is right and what is wrong. Otherwise, we will be like a person who's walking in the dark and trying to pick up a stick, but due to not having a torch, would not know that if he's picking up a stick or is he picking up a snake. He doesn't know what he's picking up. It's completely dark, but he needs stick. He needs wood to make fire, but without a torch, he doesn't know what he's picking up. He could be picking up a snake that will harm him, or he could be picking up a stick that would benefit him. So we need that torch to show the light of what this is. What is the reality of this? So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to this world should remind us that what is our duty and what is our purpose and what we need to be doing and what we should not be doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to